Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? Wells is here as well. What's happening, Wells?
Oh, you know, just living, existing. Try not to be too terribly sick.
Yeah, there's some shit going around. I'm currently a little under the weather too.
Yeah, just some light crud, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, like, if you just got it today, you're probably gonna have the worst of it in the next 48 hours, and then it kind of
lightens up. Oh, fun.
It just moves to your chest, and you cough a lot, and yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since.
Yeah, it has been.
It's been like what, almost a month.
Well, since we've recorded, yeah, for sure. We put some posts out. You know, took a couple weeks off because Joshy had some work travel to deal with, and logistics and everything just made it unbearable. So we just,
yeah, exactly. So I will
talk off and spread it out.
I will talk about my work travels, but gentlemen, what have you been up to since our last record?
Did my Indiana trip for I did early this year. Went up for kind of a Thanksgiving, Christgiving, if you will. And man, oh man, I brought zero beer back with me.
What?
It was a whole world of outdated and old stuff. And
it really made me sad.
I was like, you know, there was all kinds of fun looking Three Floyd stuff, and then all the stuff that I could find that had dates on it was from like June. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying Three Floyd's IPA hoppy stuff at, you know, 5 months old.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense at all. But yeah, I mean that's pretty much majority. Got yeah, it's just been a whole lot of like wild travel. It's been a little more bourbon heavy the last couple of weeks, which is, you know,
I would assume it's probably because of the weather turning
a little bit, and you know the weather's turning a little bit. We've been doing some fire pit. Also, I had bought a stash of bourbon the last time I was in Indiana, and I left it there because we were flying at that time. And so as we're driving back up, I'm like, now I have, you know, like I've been like slow rolling the last bottle of bourbon I had so that I wouldn't kill it. And, you know, now that I got all my stuff, it's like, aha, open season, you know, and went wild.
Yeah, I gotcha. Willie Wells, what about you? New breweries, anything exciting going up in Richmond?
No, we haven't been to any new breweries, just the same ones.
Okay.
The Vale just did their Black Friday Dark Days event.
Ooh.
So that was the big thing. It was a bunch of barrel-aged stouts and barley wines that we have been working on over the last few months.
Nice.
And they all released. So I have like 9 little areas around the brewery that used to have pallets of kegs, bottles, what have you, that I can now fill with other crap.
Cool.
Pretty exciting.
That is exciting.
Like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty pleased. I mean, if you like triple barrel black barley wine with a double dose of vanilla, it's pretty
nice. I don't like that stuff.
Gross. Yeah, I was just, you know, having to suffer through some double barreled, very special death the other day. It was just, it's like, yeah, I need more barrels.
I need all the barrels.
Give me more barrels.
All of them. So I want to kind of tie in our main news story to my trip. Mm. So then I'll explain my logic why. But let's talk about it. Rogue has filed for Chapter 7.
Chapter 7, bankruptcy. Is that
all right, Josh? Give us the reminder.
All right. So remember, Chapter 7 is we go bye bye. We have too much debt. We can't restructure this debt. And everything's going to get sold to the bank or auctioned off to debtors. Whereas Chapter 13 is typically just a restructuring of said debt.
And 11 is?
Oh, fuck. I don't even remember what 11 is anymore. Is 11 restructuring?
Eleven's restructuring.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. 11's restructure. That's right. But this is the bad one. This is Rogue is not going to exist anymore. And
yeah,
this all kind of unfolded fairly quickly over the last, it's been a couple of weeks now since
the 10 days.
Broke. Yeah. But it kind of started off with, hey, it looks like Rogue has shut down some places, but the main facility is still open. They owe a lot of taxes. They owe a lot of money. And then next thing you know, it's just like, they're gone. At least from my eyes.
Yeah.
FYI, looks like Chapter 11 is for businesses and Chapter 13 is for individuals. So, but it's the same kind of like restructure your debt. Yeah, you were close.
Wrong. Okay, cool. Yay. Look at me. I don't know why I know bankruptcy, but I know why.
We'll leave that one lie.
Yeah. And not personally, work-wise, isn't that fun?
So, yeah.
So the reason why I wanted to talk about this is ain't shit changed over there in the Dominican. Beer is still Highwire or Rogue, and that's it. Anything else, it is Presidente.
Interesting.
However, this was fascinating to me. When I was over there, we went to an actual beer garden, like this cute little store. I mean, it basically was a store in essence. They had a bunch of Belgian beer. And then, like I said, it was Highwire or it was Rogue. I asked just out of curiosity to look at some of the Rogue stuff. They had one of their hazy IPAs.
Oh, God.
It was a year old.
But also, like, is the scene even anything there?
It's not, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but it goes to that point of, I personally think Rogue shut down because they way overextended themselves.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck are they in the Dominican? When, to your point, Jeff, beer is not a thing there. There is not a beer culture in Santo Domingo, at least. It is not a beer culture city. I mean, it's a city of 1.5 million people. There's one brewery.
Yeah.
That's not a beer culture.
Right. All. And so so sending your old hazy there, like nobody's going to care about Rogue. Honestly, let's be real. When's the last time, and I'll open this up to anybody that's listening. When's the last time you even saw or thought about or cared about Rogue? And I know that sounds harsh, but like they had that moment, you know, back in the mid 2010s where, you know, they had like the Voodoo Donut Stout, and then they did that Sriracha beer, which I never had that. But, I don't know what happened to them. It's like they lost the plot somewhere along the way. And I just don't know that. Yeah. I mean, shipping your stuff down to the DR. Okay, great. You are selling product, but you're getting it off your books, but nobody's there enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I straight up asked, the guy at the beer garden. I was like, so like I said, there was Highwire, and Highwire was like high pitch, low pitch, and
sure,
I think there was maybe Bed of Nails. I mean, it was nothing crazy. It was just normal stuff. And I was like, all right, can I see one of the high pitches? And the high pitch was canned like 6 months ago. Not great, but I mean,
you could do worse. And yeah, you could. Rogue.
Yeah. I could have had a year old Rogue at that point. And I just straight up asked him, I'm like, do you have a lot of people that buy this stuff? And he's like, no, he's like, you're probably the first person that has come in here and bought anything hoppy in 6 months.
Did we lose?
So it is definitely not a beer culture. That is for damn sure in that city. But going back to Rogue, and Jeff, to your question, when was the last time I thought or saw Rogue? It was the last time I was in the DR in 2018.
Well, like, the good news is it's not the same beer.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, legitimately, that was the last time I had any Rogue because I'm over there. You know, that was it. Like, it was that or drink Presidente again, which I did not want. So that was the last time I had Rogue.
Most of that cut out for me.
Oh.
I know. It sounded like, it just reminded me of, what's it called? Forrest Gump, where he gets up and, like, at the reflecting pool and somebody pulls all his
right
mic cords and he's just up there talking and I'm just like, Josh?
All we missed was Josh saying, that's all I got to say about that.
That's pretty all much. I got to say about that. Well, hopefully it came through on the recording. We'll find out, but I mean.
Yes, we will.
Ultimately, this, it doesn't surprise me how maybe that's the best way to put it. I think the three of us could see this coming a mile away.
We've had questions over the years of like, well, who do you think the next one to drop is going to be? Who's the next big one that's going to go? I mean, Rogue would have probably made our top 10 just because we don't know what their outlay is and what their footprint and what their debt is and all that. I mean, you know, as far as big brands that used to be big that aren't as big as they used to be. I mean, Avery's kind of one of those too, right? Like, I don't know how far they're distributing. I stumbled into their beer in Texas. I got some Maharaja, which was a great little throwback. I've also seen it in South Carolina, but the stuff in South Carolina is like crazy old. So, you know, I mean, for all I know, Avery is smartly pulling back and making things work. But then at the same time, I never would have thought, you know, somebody like Rogue would have, you know, this much in debt. Was it $500,000 in rent, $30,000 in taxes? And that's just for the one spot. And then $17 million in liabilities. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking money.
Well, if we have, like, I don't know, $2.8 million, we could buy roughly 1,300 barrels of whiskey. $1 million worth of hops, grain, like dry ingredients. I mean, this is incredible.
It's $1 million of ingredients. I mean, so, I mean, some of that stuff surely keeps, you know, in a cold storage. But man, oh man, I mean, it feels like, what were you planning to do with all of that? Because it's a million ingredients, 600,000 in packaging and labels, and 700,000 in labeled and bottled beverages. So what? Maybe that's $700,000 in packaged beer, $600,000 in stuff to package beer, and then $1 million to make the beer. That's just wild.
What I'm trying to look for is, apparently, a lot of this debt kind of spun up at the end and has raised a lot of eyebrows. I don't know. So we'll see if there is any sort of shady accounting practices going on behind the book or behind the scenes. But
yeah, I see what you're saying. It talks about this, you know, unsecured loan that was hanging out there, you know, but it's like half $600,000. I mean, I feel like people in Charlotte took out bigger PPP loans than that.
Yeah.
But they had over a million in past due accounts. They'd invested, investing $2.5 million in beer canning equipment in the last 9 years, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Definitely more money than we've spent on canning equipment since then. That's for sure.
Well, and they're also quite a bit bigger than you, at least.
Oh,
legacy wise,
not anymore.
Well, obviously not anymore, but they were. And you know, I guess that kind of goes back to the main point that I wanted to make is, well, as I know, at least if I can remember right, Rogue was kind of like your entryway into craft beer, right?
Yeah, Rogue Hazelnut Brown was the one that got me into craft. And from there, like, I found your Highland and your Brooklyn and all those kind of mega regional guys. But yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, it wasn't like a gateway because, you know, I'd already gotten in through Boulevard, but like Dead Guy and, you know, some of that stuff where I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is neat. This is something different. And then we watched them just kind of flounder for a decade. And they would try stupid gimmick beers like the voodoo beers, or they would with the yeast from the dude's beard or the pages of Moby Dick. Like, they got really weird there for a while.
Yeah.
Y'all remember the beard beer?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, the beard beer, like I said, the Moby Dick pages, like, Yeah. And then it seemed like after those stunts, they just kind of, at least in my eyes, vanished. Like, I don't remember hearing anything about them. I never saw a product anymore. It was just like, they're gone. Even though, obviously, they weren't, but.
Yeah. It definitely, to me, they were almost too big to fail. 50 states, 50 countries that they exported to. And I know they've been double digits slipping every single year, but like, guys, you're rogue. Like, why can you not pull this around? And yeah.
So, you know, to me, that kind of fits into that bucket that we see, unfortunately, with some of these legacy breweries where they're just, you know, they reach this point where they, I don't know if you want to even go so far as to say they're not innovating and so they die, but you know, like what's keeping people interested in Rogue? And, you know, I'm sure they feel like they've got to put out their main stuff, like, you know, Dead Guy and, you know, the Brown and all of that. But like, I don't know that people are reaching for that beer in this world right now. Right. And we saw the same thing with Anchor, you know, and I know we'll be talking about them in the next show, but you know, we saw them struggle with trying to be relevant, you know, 10 years ago, trying to grab a hold of some of what was really going on there. And, you know, it's, you know, to a degree, you know, I feel bad. You know, again, as we always say, like, you know, these are real people with real jobs, regardless of what you felt about the brewery and the beer. You know, you don't want to, you don't want to see people get put out of work. At the same time, you know, again, Anchor felt like, or not Anchor, Rogue had reached that point where I don't know that they were relevant anymore. And I don't think they were doing anything to fix it. And maybe, owner, say what?
I don't think they were either, man. I don't think you're wrong there.
Yeah, I just wonder if, you know, the ownership got to a point where they were just fried and, hey, we'll ride this out as long as we can. And, you know, they end up declaring bankruptcy.
I mean, it's, you know, like you said, real people, real jobs. It's just, it's sad when you see an old guard like this and, like, nobody could swoop in and just buy them. Like, come on, somebody's got to have the money, too.
But, you know what I mean? Like okay, but like, you know, and I know I'm kind of segueing into the next story. You know, like, it's one thing when you're talking about Anchor, and I feel like Anchor has a heritage where Rogue, I don't know, like, they were a little too off the beaten path. And I, you know, there are some of those old legacy breweries that I just don't know that there would be as much interest in saving. Anchor is one that I think people would still get behind. Rogue, I think, would be pretty far down the list. And we'll see more of these over time. You know, it's like, it's just part of the way it goes. You know, we talk about the restaurant scene in Charlotte, you know, so for all the years that we've been doing this podcast, you know, we talk about like, oh, this brewery's closing. And, you know, does that mean there's a bubble? And it's like, no, it's just, this is the way it goes sometimes. I mean, we have restaurants that have been around, you know, in Charlotte for decades. And finally they get to a point where they're no longer interested in keeping it going. And either it's not fun, they're not making money, there's too much debt, you know, any number of things. And they call it, it's all done. We're all over. And it sucks, but it's also like that circle of life, you know, Rogue will go away and someone else will take that place.
Oh, absolutely. Cause I mean, you know, for every Rogue, you also on the flip side of that have your tree houses and your Trilliums and your other halves and your Vales that are quickly starting to replace some of these old legacy breweries, and more in the sense of their rapid growth, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I never in a million years would have thought that I could easily just walk into my local bottle shop and pick up 4 packs from the Vale or 4 packs from other half.
Right. Or Trillium for that matter.
Yeah. Or Trillium. Of
course, the reason you can do that is because nobody's spending $30 on a 4-pack of overhyped hazy beer. That's mediocre at best, but the point is,
or like the Fremont. Like, I never expected to have a head full of hops just sitting there, or some B-bomb, which I was too sick to try on Thanksgiving. So, yay me, I get it over my Christmas break.
Nice.
Yeah. But kind of, again, to put a bow on the Rogue conversation and really kind of put a bow on my whole trip and everything. So, this sucks. I feel bad for everybody that works there. But at the same time, I don't feel like Rogue was really doing a whole lot to try to innovate. They just seemed like they were there. And they were going to make money or they weren't going to make money. And clearly they're not making money anymore. And now this is the aftermath, which I don't always agree with that. But
well, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at one point, you know, they saw what was happening to, you know, Lagunitas in Stone, in Goose Island, and Ballast Point, and they said, hey, look, we're one of those legacy names. We'll be on that list soon. We'll just keep hanging out and waiting for that angel investor, that buyer to come along and snap us up, just like they did for Oscar Blues and Cigar City and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just never happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do with it other than, you know, again, you declare bankruptcy. And I mean, because maybe they lost their heart for it. You know, I mean, we saw that with Bells, right? You know, he got to the point where, you know, his health issues were becoming a hindrance and the family didn't want to take over the business. And so selling, you know, made the most sense.
Yeah. And it does happen sometimes. It does. So like I said, to kind of put a bow on my trip. So, you know, again, I was in Santo Domingo. I was there for 2.5 weeks, we'll call it. Beer is just, it's not a thing over there still at all. Like, this goes to prove how much it's not a thing. So there is a pub that is, I don't know, 3 blocks away from my hotel. It's called the Irish Pub. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think any place that is called an Irish pub is going to have?
Guinness.
Or?
Guinness, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Harp.
So with some trainers that are like fucking younger than my son, basically. But they're like, I've never had Guinness before. Let's go try some Guinness. I'm like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's go try some Guinness. Hey, there's this Irish pub. I know that they'll have Guinness. They didn't have Guinness. I'm like, what the fuck? It was Presidente, some Bass, or it was a bunch of Rogue. That was all they had. Nothing was on draft. It was all in cans.
Wow.
Or bottles. But yeah, I was just like, I really can't get a goddamn Guinness here. Seriously?
And the domestic. So
that was interesting.
But also garden, like, okay, you know, of all places that I would be interested in going and getting a stout, a tropical island is not one of them.
I'm aware of where I'm at. I'm like pouring down sweat every day as these people are like in hoodies and in jackets. And I'm like, you are broken. What is wrong with you? It is 1,000 degrees outside. Like, it was funny when I left, you know, it was cold as shit here. I think it was like 30 degrees, but I know where I'm going. So I don't have a coat with me or anything like that because it's going to be a waste over there, right?
Right.
So I'm just freezing my ass off as I'm outside. But I'm just like, I'm not going to take this shit that I know I will not touch for the next 2.5 weeks. That's wasting bag space. And of course, same when I got home, although it wasn't that bad when I got home. It just warmed up a little bit. But again, the beer garden, really neat. They had a bunch of Belgian beers. Some of it I had never really seen before. They did have some Westy 12 and, you could tell that these gentlemen, cause it's like four friends, they actually have a passion for beer.
Okay.
Unlike a lot of people in that country. So you could tell that they've like personally curated this list of stuff that they're importing.
Yeah, and it's all stuff that they're interested in. That's pretty great.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like I said, there's a bunch of Belgian stuff, strong and pale Belgians, and then again, like they had some American craft beer. Already talked about those, but spent a good couple of hours there just enjoying some Dominican food and having some kick-ass beers. And then the only other thing that stood out to me was the hotel that I was staying at. They did have a Kolsch. I don't remember the brewery. It was a local to DR brewery. I don't remember who it was off the top of my head, but they had a Kolsch on tap.
And so, was it any good?
Yeah. I mean, nice. It was great, and it was nice. Like, it was, the keg was empty the first weekend I was there, so I didn't get to try it. Gotcha. The second weekend I was there, they got it. And yeah, I sat out there on a Friday night and had like three or four of them. Because, you know, it's hot. I want beer. I'm working these weird hours. And everything is like space money over there. Like a dollar to a peso is like 61 pesos to a US dollar. So, like, beers were, I don't know, $2 or $3. I got a, like, this insane old fashioned that, like, had all the accoutrement in it. And I think it cost me like $4, $5, something like that. I'm just like, this is not fair.
Whereas you come back here and just the add-ons are $4.
Oh, just the stark difference, right? So taking a Uber from my hotel to the beer garden, it was $3. And it was probably a good, I don't know, I'd say 5 to 6 mile drive.
Wow.
Maybe even more than that. So it was like $3. My ride back from the airport to my house, $40.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the stark difference in everything. Like, I could, if I didn't have to live in that heat and humidity, I could live over there and just live like a damn drug lord. It'd be amazing.
Mm-mm.
I'd love it.
Sweaty Josh.
That's right. The last thing I'll hit over is I didn't go to the brewery because the brewery did not open until 6 o'clock at night.
It feels a dangerous time for you.
Which is weird. Yeah. Didn't open until 6 o'clock at night, and then they were open until 3 o'clock in the morning. So it almost felt like it was a club and not a brewery. Yeah. But they did have beer.
But were you family?
So I did not go to the one brewery that was in Santo. If I do ever make a return trip, I do plan to try to go there because it definitely, they did not have a brewery the last time I was there. So,
well, I know a place they can buy a bunch of used equipment and a lot of ingredients.
Grain and hops. Right?
No, like, good. Look, there, we don't even need like the huge angel investor. Let's just get some money. We can go move there, go buy a bunch of rogue stuff, transport it over, and just set up a brewery there. It'd be great.
Exactly.
What could go wrong?
Nothing
could go wrong.
Other than everything.
Nah, sounds like a grand idea.
Requires no further thought. Just do it.
So kind of talking again about legacy breweries, and Jeff had mentioned this already, but it feels like we finally got the closing chapter on Anchor. So it looks like Anchor will not reopen the original facility, and they are going to be contract brewing from here on out.
Well,
so there we go. That's it. That's the finale to Anchor. Like, it's, I mean, in essence, it's done. The name is in existence, and that's all it is.
Will not reopen original brewery without its reestablished taproom in San Francisco. Contract brewer. That's sad.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, like, I kind of saw it coming because we, you know, the Chobani yogurt dude bought this place and then nothing happened. So clearly, right. Yeah, if he had any inkling to reopen this, he would have done it almost immediately.
Yeah. Apparently there was like a lot of issues with the property, how it was left while it kind of sat vacant. There was some like water, sewer, everything. Just,
yeah. Well, you almost got to wonder how much of that might've been hanging out there, you know, and be part of why they shut down.
Maybe. Well, RIP to Anchor, which is a shame because I don't know, I guess they'll still contract their, our special ale, but still.
All right, last but not least, Wells, you sent us something that Cigar City is doing. What the fuck are they doing?
All right. My first thought was, this is dumb. And then I pondered it for a second and thought, I would buy two of these if I saw them.
Yep.
They are selling a 5-gallon bucket full of Hialeah IPA. It's not just like a bucket and beer inside. It's at least like a case of cans inside that 5 gallon bucket with a little bit of a markup than you typically would, you know, spend for just a case of beer. But you've got a free bucket, and who doesn't want a 5 gallon bucket around their house? I sure could use one right now. I could use a couple 5 gallon buckets. 5 gallon bucket makes for a great seat. 5 gallon bucket makes for a great cooler. You show up to a party with one of these and a bag of ice, you pop the top, you dump the ice in the cooler, boom, there's your cooler, there's your bucket of beer and your cooler. And then I just think this is super gimmicky. It looks like it's exclusive to big box stores, but you can buy a 5 gallon bucket of Hi-Li, and I think it's neat.
When you say big box stores, are you talking like a Total Wine, places like that, or you mean like a grocery store?
I think like a Costco or something.
Oh, okay.
Kind of looks like that's how that's being. But who doesn't love buckets? Like I would love. I just want this. I don't have a Costco membership, but I could kind of see myself doing this.
So I guess my first question is, how soon before the bucket explodes?
Why would the bucket explode?
Why would the bucket explode? Oh, I don't know. Down? Remember how bad Hi-Li's quality control used to be?
Yeah, but no. That was years ago. I mean, our biggest issue with Hi-Li when it first started hitting the market, and I mean, that was what, 2015, 2016, was just had too much hop trash in it. And I feel like, you know, and that was before Oscar Blues came into the picture and all of that. Like, I feel like they've really cleaned Hi-Li up a lot. It's a pretty, you know, consistent product. Wells, I'm right there with you. When I first saw this, I kind of did one of those like, well, this is the dumbest gimmick that ever gimmicked. But then the more I thought about it, I was watching that Instagram that you had linked in there. And I'm like, no, this is actually kind of awesome. Like, I would love to just stroll up into a party with just a 5 gallon bucket that's just packed full of cans and ice and boom, you know.
Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint, you know, you've got that hanging out there too. I mean, like it's really great.
Yeah, it's an instant conversation starter. You know, if I see somebody that has a bucket full of beer, I'm going to have questions.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just pretty cool, man.
I will also say, you know, cool gimmick, but I don't know. This is probably way overpriced for what it really is. And you
maybe not. I mean, you know, if I actually did the guy
the give pricing a price that point? I saw it, he did. And it's at a couple dollars premium to a basically it is what you would expect to pay for a 5 gallon bucket plus a case of beer.
Yeah. Which I mean, you know, again, from that standpoint, I mean, like people spend more on stupider things.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
At least this time I have a something to like a bucket to show for it.
Yeah. And then you got a bucket to puke in too. It's a win-win. You could puke in it, you could pee in it, you could sit on it.
I mean,
you tread pork in it.
Yeah, you could rest a brisket in it. It better come with the lid though, because if it doesn't come with the lid and they charge you an extra $5 for the lid, they can fuck all the way off on that.
It comes with a lid, don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Well, I guess we can move into the beer that we might be drinking since we're all remote, by the way, on this one. So, Jeff, what about you?
I've been enjoying a nice little can of Revolution's Cold Time Lager. Very, I had some tacos tonight. So, I was just like, this is a nice, good light beer to go with that.
Cool. What about you, Mr. Wells?
I am currently drinking water because I do not feel so hot. It would have been celebration from this year if I felt better. So let's just mark it down as 2025 celebration because it still might be. Anyway, what are you doing, Josh?
Besides trying to get the music bot in here. So I'm still playing catch up from being gone for 2.5 weeks. So good problem to have, right? Come home with a beer fridge just chock full of beer. Bad part is some of that stuff is now starting to get a little past its age.
Yep. Been there. Yep.
The way that I just kind of buy beer on cycle, like literally I will buy my current beer that I have is not even in my keezer. It's just sitting out because I didn't have room in my keezer. So
right. Can confirm.
Right. So I'm like literally pre-buying beer for the next weekend and just this continual cycle of like, I'm always like way ahead. I could stop buying beer for a month and still have plenty. I have a problem. I know I do. Anyways, I'm drinking some extra broccoli from Other Half.
There you go.
Was so nice to be back in the world of hazies, like right. After not really having beer, like, or IPAs in general. I mean, a Kolsch is a Kolsch, right? And we all know Belgian beers, there's nothing wrong with them.
Yep.
And I did try a High Wire. It wasn't that bad for it being High Wire. But it was just nice. Like the last time that I was there, I'd actually gone to the local grocery store while I'm in this like super ritzy hotel in the super nice part of downtown Santo. Like, I think three blocks away from me, there was a mall that had like a Gucci store and Prada and all this shit. And I'm like, I'm not going to find a place to get beer anywhere around here. So I'll just be drinking at the hotel.
I was going through, and to your point, I was clearing out some of my hazies from, or really, really some of my remaining fresh hot beers from the trip. And I checked one in and Scott pings me and he's like, oh, you didn't rate that. You know, was it just not good? Did you not like it? I'm like, dude, it wasn't that. I had it with you. It was fine. Now with some distance, I was super disappointed that the majority of the fresh hop stuff I brought back was all hazy. You know, but not like, you know, milkshakes or anything or New England style, but they were all hazy. And I'm just like, man, I just really was wanting just like, you know, West Coast clear. So I need some more of that for my fridge.
Yeah, I feel you. All right, Jeff, we're through the show. Where are we at?
Come find us on the interwebs at craftbeercast.com. We've got links to our old episodes and links to our Patreon if you want to support us that way. Or, we've got the socials that we don't check very well because we're a bunch of old men. We're actually, at this point, I feel like the three of us, we're old enough to play high schoolers in a Netflix series. So, we got that going for us, which is nice. But otherwise, come send us email, contact at craftbeercast.com. Wells, where can they find you?
They can find me at All The Wells on Instagram. Josh, where can they find you?
Besides right here, don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Can't talk all of a sudden. Don't forget to rate and review us on your podcast of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody you've been listening to us for all these years, or if you're new, welcome in. And other than that, we'll talk to y'all next Thursday.